Okay, first of all, before I start, I just want to thank those who played any part in making yesterday's wedding a success. If you hadn't realised, the bride and groom have just walked in. And those who came and supported, we did appreciate that very much. It's a good demonstration of what love will do. I've been going out to Poland now for 16, 17 years, sometimes two or three times a year. And as my son will tell you, I've learned maybe three or four Polish words, which I throw out randomly just to, you know, let the Polish know I know the odd word. But suddenly my son, for some reason, is beginning to take over me in understanding or speaking a little bit of Polish. I'm not quite sure what the determination is there, but love does have a difference, doesn't it? Okay, so we do appreciate all the support we've had. I'm not intending, or hoping I'm not intending, for my talk to be a long talk this morning, partly because we've got a number of Polish in, and I know some don't know a lot of English, and I've been on the other end of that in three-hour-long Polish services, where I've known very little Polish, and I know how hard it is when you're sat for a long time trying to understand. So I don't want to be too long for that reason this morning, but we'll see where we go. My talk this morning, the title, Dare to be Different, was inspired a little bit. Those who live out in this direction that we live out, if you head in to Hexham through Wall and through Acombe, when you get down to Acombe and go slowly past the speed camera, around about that point, there's a field to the right that some of you may have seen where there's obviously some builder has bought the land and is about to build yet more houses down that area. But the strap line on their board is Dare to be Different. And I had this word bubbling within me, and I passed the board a couple of times and thought, it's a great title for what I want to try and express when I bring this word on a Sunday morning. And I'm bringing something that I think will probably end up being touched on a bit more in a later series. So, you know, this is almost a little pre-sequel to the series that's coming. But Dare to be Different. Anybody know who the elephant is? Alma. Quite different is Alma. And the book that we're going to look at for our Dare to be Different is this book. Anybody tell me what the book is? Shout out, it's interactive this morning. Daniel in the lion's den. Only we're not covering that story. But anybody tell me why he's asleep? Because Daniel has a book. It's pretty much all about dreams, isn't it? So you get the feeling that most people in the book of Daniel were sleeping somewhere along the line. I've told some of you before, I always say I don't really get dreams. You know, people get dreams and speak prophetically through them, and I don't really get dreams. And somebody did point out to me, you have to sleep to have dreams, which is probably one of my problems. But if you read the book of Daniel, lots of dreams. It's all about dreams. But Daniel and a number of his friends have been taken captive, and so they're taken away, and they're taken away into exile, into Babylon. And the picture we get this morning is out of this story. So that's where we're going. What I'm going to ask is for Katie just to come and read. We're going to read a whole chapter this morning because as we looked at it together, we thought, don't know where to start in and cut out. So we're going to read the whole chapter. At least, bless her, Katie's going to read the whole chapter.
uh-huh. So we're reading from Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and he set it up in the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provisional officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all other kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in total amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Thank you, Katie. I was pretty sure I wouldn't get through all that this morning. So we've got the picture here. Whenever I hear that, I struggle to remember the names because my uncle used to preach on that, and this is really going to throw the Polish, but he used to use all the wrong names because he would always say his shack, my shack, and a bungalow. So whenever I hear those names, I just think about those names, which is not helpful, really. So I've just been very unhelpful to you, really, as well, haven't I? You can be part of my confusion this morning. But you've got the idea. Here's these young guys. I don't know what you have of that in your mind of that story, but whenever I hear that story, read that story, I have this picture of, you know, all the young men arriving in into Babylon and them being lined up, and they look at them, you know, and say, tall, good-looking, brainy, intelligent, you don't match, you're out. you're out. And they end up with this smaller crew of all the best crop of young lads and decide, right, we're going to put you in with the best of ours. We're going to train you up. We're going to do all the best things. All this is going on. And then they go on to this point where we get in the story where they've got to bow down to this God. And it would have been very easy, wouldn't it, as a young man to say, well, it's that or we die. Surely God doesn't want us dead. Yeah, we could justify lots of ways, couldn't we, of why it makes sense for us not to do this. We just give in a little bit. God will understand, because he doesn't want us dead, does he? But here these guys said, you know what? Doesn't matter what you do to us, we know our God can save us. And even if he doesn't, yet I'll trust. How many of you know that's hard? We know it in theory. I know it in theory. But when it comes to the real thing, it's not easy, is it? To say, well, I know God can save me from this, but even if he doesn't, not my will, but your will. Heard that somewhere before? I want to read you a little story. This is the story that really, I was reading this book and this challenged me into this thinking of, dare we be different? Or do we just want to be the same as everybody else? Bit of an allegory for you, but Go with me. Let's imagine for a moment an angelic conversation. Put aside any theological problems you may have with angels talking for a minute. I'm not trying to make any theological point. One angel is looking at what's happening on earth on a huge plasma screen. I hope they have them in heaven. Otherwise, what am I going to watch movies on? He looks forlorn, saddened by the vivid images flashing across the screen. He's almost motionless, deeply engrossed, concentrating on every movement of the humans he is watching. Something is clearly troubling him. At that point, another angel arrives. What movie are you watching? Oh, just the Saints of God on Earth. It is set somewhere in England. A nice town. Very peaceful. Maybe called Hexham. Doesn't say that here. Replies the human watching angel. What's happened so far? Asks the new angel. Not really sure. It's a bit slow moving. Basically, the saints of God are dispersed through the town, going about their daily business. And every Sunday, they get together for a sing-song. And one of their numbers shouts at them for half an hour. Doesn't seem very interesting. Do you think it's going to get any more exciting than this? The second angel is now moving towards the door, having seen enough of the human movie. I hope so, replies the first. It's supposed to get very exciting. I've read the book, so I know what happens at the end of the story. But this bit is so boring. Having lost his concentration, the human watching angel tries to find something to hold his attention, but is distracted. Well, who is who? Asks the angel that was about to depart. I can't tell the saints apart from anyone else. That's the problem, says the watching angel, now standing with the remote in his hand, ready to end the program. They all look the same. And with that, he switches channel to a movie about the life of the great John Wesley. Hey, this is more like it, he calls after his colleague. You get the idea. I don't know about you, I read that. And I was saying to the eldership team, I read it to them because it's not very often that this happens to me, but as I read this book, I found myself unable to move on. And I thought, I can't get into the rest of the book yet. I'm impacted by what I've read there. I'm challenged by what I've read there. How distinctive am I? If I was part of that screen, and the angels were watching, would they know which side I was on? Would they know I was a saint? Or would they think I was just one of the crowd? I found myself really, really challenged by that question. And I've continued to be challenged by that question. If you wanted to know what the book is, because I know somebody will ask me at the end, it's called Pearl Hunters by Stuart Keller. Brilliant book. Worth reading. And I have moved on a bit, but not far. It's a book that I think I should be able to read. It's a good job Holly's not here. She lent me it and she'll be thinking she's never going to get it back. But it's a book you should be able to read fairly quickly, I reckon. But it's taken me a long time because I keep getting challenged as I go along in each bit of it. How different am I? If we look at Acts chapter 26, no we don't. You'll have a job looking at Acts chapter 26. If we look at Acts chapter 11, verse 26, you might find it easier. It says this. And when he brought him into Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Just want you to get hold of that one line at the moment. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Who knows why? We're going to be a bit interactive this morning. Who knows why they called them Christians? What did that name that they gave them actually indicate? They were like Christ. They looked at them and they thought, they're just like that Christ. And so actually it was a bit of a nickname. The Christians, the Christ-like ones, the ones that look like Christ. There's a bit of a hint in the name. They look like Christ. And so as I considered that, I thought, well, I wonder what it was that they saw that made them think, they're little Christians, they're little Christ-likes. So if I could have my flip chart board for a minute, this is where it gets interactive this morning. This is where you do the work. That's why you were carrying it and not me. Now then, I need a beautiful assistant, Pauline. I know my boss. I want pain at the end of the week. No,
writing, not drawing.
You're writing, not drawing, yes. You could draw if you like. What I want you to do, I'll give you a bit more space with this. I want you to just shout out, one at a time, please, not like a rabble. What do you think were the characteristics, can you see it that side? It's going to be, if we just angle it very slightly. If you can't see and you want to see, do feel free to move. We're quite relaxed this morning. What are the characteristics that you think they might have seen that made them think, little Christians? So we had care, humility, signs and wonders. Kevin shouts amen. Love. Any other things? Generosity. Service. Come on, some big words that you can't spell. Self-control. What was that one? Boldness. Oh, it's Katie at the back there. Boldness. Love. We've got love. Yeah, we've got love. Any others? Concern for the poor. I'm sure there's one word you can summarize that in. Compassion. Yeah. Power and authority. Not judgmental. Forgiving. Whoa, we're on a roll now. Filled with the Holy Spirit. With the forgiving. Good. Looked different. So they looked different. Not the dress then. Faithfulness. Hey, but she's running out of paper. Confidence. Faithfulness. Confidence. One more. Joyfulness. Like Jesus covers all of it, doesn't it? Like Jesus covers all of it. Have you got the idea? Thank you, Pauline. Give her a clap. Had Ian Hardcastle been here this morning, I was going to get him to do a little demonstration for me. And he said yes and then realized he wasn't going to be here, which made it difficult. But it's a little thing that most of you will have done at school, in your chemistry days, when you take a little bit of litmus paper. Everybody know what litmus paper is? I'm really making it hard for the Paulies now, aren't I? And you dip the litmus paper into different solutions, and if it's acid, it goes one colour, and if it's alkali, that's the word I'm looking for, it goes another colour. And I was asking Elaine, as I was thinking about this, we were driving, I said, I wonder what there is that's actually neutral. I wonder if there's anything that is actually neutral. Anybody know what is neutral? Distilled water, yeah, deionized water. But most things you'll get either acid or you'll get alkaline, won't you? Be very clear which is which. And I was, as I thought about that, I thought, if there was some sort of litmus paper test we could do to see whether we're strongly like this or we're more towards the opposite of this, if we were able to do a little litmus test of ourselves and our lives, I wonder what colour it would go. And you know, as I say all this, I don't want what I'm bringing this morning to sound like a knockdown or a... Actually, I want it to be a calling up. We may be doing very well in these, but can we do better? Is the world around us seeing enough and touching enough of this from us? Do you know what? Before you even get to that point, is the church around us seeing enough and feeling enough of this? What are we giving out as we go about our day-to-day lives? Is it this and much more? Or is there still some work to do? Are we bad? Are we good? Are we very good? One of my favourite sayings at the moment, the elders will tell you, is the enemy of excellent or great is good. So we might be good, but could we be great? Is there something more we could achieve in any of these? Or surely we want to strive to be more like Jesus. I would love to have been the disciples who were so like Jesus that they looked and said, Christians. I do wonder sometimes how much I am. If we skip to the first of the triangles. Remember this? It's a slightly different presentation of it because I've had it rebranded a bit, but this is my triangle that I've done a lot. Love God, love church, love others. And I've talked, you've heard me talk and say, actually, we need to be a balance of all of those things. Yeah, sometimes people will say to me, do you know what? Well, I'm all about loving God. Let Kevin do the love others. Let Kevin's gang do the loving others. I'm about loving God. That's my bit. It's not how it works. We're all to love God. We're all to love the church. We're all to love others. We can't just say, well, that's my baby and somebody else does the other bit. We need to do it all. We need to be well balanced. If we want the church to be well balanced in these things, in loving God, loving others, loving the church, then actually I want to suggest this. Our small groups, family groups, missional groups, whatever you are part of, need to be balanced in this. And our individual lives, if our small groups want to be balanced in this, then our individual lives need to be balanced in this. The church will only be balanced in this if each one of us is balanced in it. Your family groups will only be balanced in it if you are balanced in it. How well are we doing in loving God? How well are we doing in loving others? How well are we doing in loving each other? Just ask them the question and say, come on, let's do even better at it. I also want to suggest this, if we go to the next slide, if we want to achieve that, we're going to need these three things. We're going to need prayer. I can tell you, if you want to love me, you're going to need prayer. It's not always easy to love everybody, is it? We're not always lovable, are we? Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that is hard to love. Sometimes it takes a bit of prayer to love each other, doesn't it? It definitely takes prayer to get that courage to go out and witness in the world. We need prayer. We need God's presence with us. Remember when they said, Was it Moses or Joshua? I always get mixed up. Where's my theologian, God? Who said, that's Moses, wasn't it? If you're not going, God, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. I'm only going to go if your presence goes with me. We need God's presence with us. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, we need God's presence with us. And we, this one gets me all the time because I just look and think, this is where I lack. We need the power of God. We need to see the demonstration of God. And we don't see enough of it. And that challenges me. If we're living the Bible today, surely everything that happened in Acts still can happen in our church today? Or has it just died? Has it gone? If it has, do you know what? I don't think I want to be part of the church because it'd be boring, like the story on the TV. We want to see great things, don't we? It's like Wimber used to say, let's get out there and do the stuff. Whatever the stuff is. But I'm pretty sure he meant get out there and heal people and see people saved. And you know, what the church has done over the years, and we've taken the gifts and the supernatural that I'm sure God intended to be a demonstration to the world, and we've made them our little chocolate box. Which one will we have today? If it was hotel chocolate and Elaine was here, you wouldn't get anywhere near. But we have, haven't we? We've taken the gifts and the power and all that God intended and all that God... When we read Acts, we see God doing great things. 3,000 people added to the church. How many services would we need to have? How many coffees would you have to make, you people who make coffee? You might moan about the coffee now. Think if you were making coffee for 3,000 new converts. But wouldn't you love the challenge? But we've taken all that God intended for us to be a demonstration to the world, and we make it our toys. Challenging, I know, this morning. But it's true. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the stage in my life where I'm saying, God, I've wasted 61 years of my life nearly. I don't want to waste whatever that I've got left. I want to see you move. I want to see your presence and your power. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to take some determination, and we're going to need to dare to be different. And I'm going to need to dare to be different. Are we up for it? Are we up for the journey? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So as I finish, I'll put the last triangle up. Let's love God, pray. Let's take his presence with us where we go, and particularly let's sense God's presence in our church. If we're not sensing God's presence in the church, we need to ask why. And let's take that power and that love out to a world who's waiting. They're waiting. And the media today will try to tell you anything but that. The media will try to convince you. You go out there and you try to witness. Do you know what? They don't want to know. It's not true. It's a lie. The world out there wants some clarity. The world out there wants something real. And it's not seeing it anywhere. You know the Brexit situation? Saddens me. I don't mean the situation. When I see some Christians' responses, I glanced on Facebook yesterday morning and there was an article. It was a Christian article. Simple Christian article saying, pray for our leaders. Pray for this Brexit situation. Now, this is a Christian article that predominantly Christians are reading. So the comments are from Christians. And I read some of the comments. I felt like crying. When I see the comments that Christians make on social media, and If you do it, stop doing it. Do you know we can have different views without being disrespectful? We can have different views and honour each other. And when I saw some of the comments, I typed in there and said, hang on a minute. What are you doing here? I thought you were all Christians. Why are we not honouring and respecting? And, you know, and why can we not pray? Regardless of what we think about our government or what political view we are. Do you know what? When they were told in the Bible, pray for your leaders, they were being killed by those leaders. And they were still saying, pray for the leaders. And we can't pray for them just because they have a different view to us. I know that Parliament's not doing itself a lot of favours at the moment. But let's not join in. We are to be different. We are to give a different sound. And those Christian articles on social media should be a different sound to all the rest. And if they're not, let's make it our business to make them so. I want to say this to you, two things I'm going to finish because I'm totally off my topic now. I'm on my soapbox now. I want to be a different sound to this world. And I want to say this to you. If you're on social media, particularly as we are at the moment, get some positive stuff out there. Get some scriptures out there. And when you see the negative, don't just avoid it. Challenge it. You know what? You'll get some stick. But challenge it. Put some positive in the negative. Don't let the world dictate the sound of social media. Let's just get hold of it. But make sure you're doing it well. Now, I say that I can be very negative when it comes to football on social media. And I've been challenged a bit by that as well, actually, about what I say and how I say it. But let's be different. Let's be those that people look at us and say, little Christians, because they see something different. They hear something different. They see and feel the presence, power, and love of God because it's in us. Let's be like a stick of rock. When we snap wherever we are, we see presence, power, love, God. Let's be like that so much that whatever people touch, that's what they're going to get. Let's seek to be those sort of people. And let's see Hexham transformed. God bless you. And Poland transformed. Amen.